male macho cultural stereotyping is so strong in our culture, combined with the academic reinforcement of the left side, that with most men, it's rather difficult to make it through school with much right brain left. They might make it through, but they were often punished in the process. They're usually more sensing, intuitive, artistic. And some of those qualities are not as easy to measure, see, as the left side, which is verbal, analytical, sequential, and so forth. See, leadership deals with holistic sensing, reading the future, sensing trends, providing direction, reading people's emotions. It's a very healthy thing to know this because all of us have both sides. And we can cultivate both sides. If we're more on the left side, do more artistic things. Listen more with the eyes. Touch for communication. Watch the holistic aspect. Read biography, autobiography. Get close to nature. Get close to concrete things, particularly feelings of people. If you're more on the right side, do more analytical work, sequential work, verbal work, so that you can kind of compensate for where you may be weaker. There are a lot of books on this subject about the operation of the brain, and that we're just beginning to get into that area. But to me, it's very intriguing, the whole idea that we do have different capacities in our brain, and that you can so reinforce one side that you can utterly neglect the other. Abraham Maslow made a very, very astute statement, I think has great validity here. He said, "He that is good with the hammer tends to think everything is a nail." In other words, people that are good in one area of life, one expertise, one skill, would like all reality to be amenable to that skill, to that competency. They would like to almost force it if they had to. You do not see the world as it is, you see the world as we are. You see, until you can emotionally believe that all people see the world as they are, why would you want to value the differences? Because if I think I see it as it is, why do I want to mess around with someone who's off track? In other words, who is the objective person? Who's the truly objective person? It's the one who knows he's not. That he's subjectively involved, and he takes steps to compensate for that subjective involvement by involving other people. Who is the truly subjective person? It's the one who thinks he's objective. I see it as it is. The rest of you are buried by the minutiae. I see the larger picture. I'm objective. That's why they call me a supervisor. I have supervision. I see reality. I'm not biased and subjectively involved like you people. That's about the most scary attitude of all. It takes true humility and reverence to acknowledge that we're powerfully influenced by our conditioning. Now, that does not mean that there are not better opinions than other people, better maps of the world. The whole concept of the evolution of science, as we discussed earlier, is constantly evolving improved maps of the universe, improved paradigms. And it's a constant process that's going on. They gradually develop the ability to communicate and synergize to where they can understand each other's points of view. Now, in labor management disputes or in disputes between any two parties, the same basic principle that applies. If you can get both parties to listen to each other empathically and restate the other person's position to the other person's satisfaction before you make your own point, literally, it just drains the hostility and the anger out of the people involved. However, that is not an easy achievement when people are so ego-invested in their other points of view. I've been involved several times in negotiations between people who were angry at each other. And often they went to the law to hire lawyers to defend their positions. And all that did is exacerbate the problem. Because then you had to get into not genuine communication, but communication through a legal process. And often it deteriorated that process. Nevertheless, the trust level was so low, they felt like that's That's what they had to go. There was nowhere else they could go, nothing else they could do. We asked them if they would be interested in going for a win-win solution, genuine win-win, where both parties really felt good about it. And usually they would say yes, but they don't think it could happen. We'd say, if we can get the other party to say yes, and if we can begin the process of listening to each other and restating each other's position, would you be willing to do it? If you can only get one party of the two to do that, it usually will do the trick with the other party. We understand your position is, and your concerns are, and furthermore, you feel this, and you're concerned about this precedent. And people say, that's right. That's exactly it. You understand. Then they become amazingly open. You've given them psychological air. Then the same thing happens. Then they get into the synergistic process. So basically, my friends, habits 4, 5, and 6 teach a sequence in problem solving. Yeah, they really do. The sequence is to develop within yourself the attitude of trying to go for win-win. Then begin the process of seeking to understand before seeking to be understood. Then go into problem solving. I commend it to you. I commend to you the practice of it. And don't expect to be good at it for a while, any more than you could be good playing tennis or moving your grip to a new backhand grip in tennis or learning golf or any other skill. There will be an awkward period. Don't criticize the principle on the basis of some temporary awkwardness or some failings. Look on it as an extremely powerful skill that embodies the principle, which takes a lot of time and patience to really acquire and internalize. As a great man once put it, that which we persist in doing becomes easier. Not that the nature of the thing has changed, but our ability to do has increased. Synergy is the crowning achievement of all of the habits. Teamwork, team building, developing unity and harmony. Now remember how we're defining unity? Is it sameness? What is it? Complementariness. Build a complementary team. That's the essence of unity. Not sameness. It's a far more mature definition.